Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1369, we feature three stories by new Life Rattle writer Alexander Melnick. Alexander Melnick was born in Mississauga in 1993. The older of two children, he was born to first-generation Ukrainian-Canadian parents. Growing up in the suburbs yielded strange results, as he's now a connoisseur of anime, baking shows, video games, and Lemony Snicket books. After completing his studies in writing, Alexander Melnick intends to continue peddling the academic grindstone until he masters the techniques of traditional illustration. Alexander Melnick brings a unique turn of phrase to his narratives. This, along with the clarity of his prose, gives readers a fresh view of relatively commonplace occurrences. From early childhood to early teens, we follow our narrator, his quirky humor, his struggle with body image, and his deepening friendship with a schoolmate. The honesty and vulnerability presented in these stories forge an irresistible intimacy between us and the main characters. Tonight's first story introduces us to our narrator on the first day of grade one, when he meets the golden-haired Olena, who surprises him with the feline treasure she carries in her backpack. Let's listen now as Alexander Melnick reads his story, Cats Attract.
Cats Attract by Alexander Melnick. Today is my first day in Miss Teresa's grade 1 class at St. Sophia's. A giant jigsaw of wooden desks crowd together to form a large rectangle in the middle of the classroom. Kids who came in earlier took the best spots, the corner desks. I'm afraid to sit in one of the middle desks. Too many curious eyes might watch over me. I shuffle toward a desk near the front of the room. The teacher's desk looms over me. Her giant wooden throne towers over everything else in the room. "You're sitting in the timeout desk," Miss Teresa says. She scuttles out from behind her table and motions me to come with her. She guides me to a new desk in the very center of the rectangle. The room's temperature rises tenfold. As I try to settle down and unload my backpack, a girl takes a seat next to me. Sitting, the girl's as tall as I am standing. She doesn't look over. She doesn't say a word. I keep quiet and move on. I pull out a blue pencil case, and she pulls out a pink one. I pull out a notebook, and she pulls out three. I reach my hand deeper into my backpack. She can't beat me this time. This next thing is from a cartoon I really love. A show about a group of girls that transform into the legendary Sailor Scouts as they fight off evil aliens. I slowly, hand trembling, slip out a purple stuffed toy. Luna, the pet cat and best friend to the main character of Sailor Moon. My godmother bought Luna for me when I graduated from kindergarten. Luna and I travel everywhere together. The two of us always... The girl pulls out a white stuffed cat from her backpack. "Hey, I've got Artemis, and you've got Luna," she says. Oh, I breathe. I slide Luna toward my backpack. No, leave her out. Luna's my favorite," the girl says. She pats Luna and rubs her ears. Long streams of hair, tied up with lace pom-poms, flow from the girl's head. As she talks, they swish back and forth. "I like Artemis. He's really goofy," I say. "Maybe, for our first recess, we can play with them. I'll be Sailor Moon, and you can be her boyfriend, Tuxedo Mask," she says. The girl snatches Luna from my hands, grabs Artemis, and gives them both a big hug. I smile back and say, "Sure, I'm Alex." She hands me both cats. I cuddle with them like she did. "I'm Elena," she says. Thank you.
was Alexander Melnick reading his story, Cats Attract. Our second story has our narrator in a bit of a predicament when the 4-year-old hellion he has teamed up with as a reading buddy identifies him as a princess rather than a prince, and then wreaks havoc when told otherwise. Let's listen now as Alexander Melnick reads his story, Reading Buddies.
Reading Buddies by Alexander Melnick. Alexander, what's going on? Miss Hollick shouts as she stamps her way towards me. I sit, flat on the bristled gray rug, nestled in the front corner of the classroom, my eyes glued to the boy hiding beside me. He somehow squeezed himself inside the angled legs of the chalkboard easel he just flippantly flipped over. Explain to me, why isn't Zahar reading like the rest of the kids? Miss Hollick lambasts me, her voice an octave too shrill. She pairs her frown with a searing glare. No teacher has ever scolded me before. My brain and my mouth disconnect. Zahar, my reading buddy, snickers away as he sucks on the handful of pastel-colored chalk he pounced on a while ago. Miss Hollick bends down to hoist the devil up and then sets him closer beside me. She stabs her hand into his mouth, digs around, and pulls out a lovely mound of wet chalk mush. Zahar wipes his mouth and sneers. He looks at me, still sitting like an idiot, and guffaws with utter glee. Miss Hollick pats Zahar's uniform clean of dust and dirt. He giggles. I drop my head down. Alexander, I honestly thought you'd make an example of yourself and keep Zahar in check, she says. She bends down again. The stretching of her skirt creates an awful noise, like a race car on Velcro. I guess I'm silly for making that assumption, she huffs, and pulls me up from the floor. I look over. The rest of my class, all 30 students, keep silent. Their kindergarten partners sit and stare. They too keep silent. All of them, so perfect and smug, setting their piles of picture books into neat little stacks, sitting oh so comfortably, like nesting dolls in egg cartons. Miss Hollick scans the room. She pedestals herself in front of the class, arms bent and hands anchored to her hips. She clears her throat and begins. As you can all see, this is a situation we can learn from. This mess irks me because it could have been easily avoided if one of you had the courtesy to help Alexander out with a Zahar. I mean, seriously, didn't any of you bother to at least pay attention to where all that racket was coming from? Everyone's heads point down or around, avoiding the teacher's gaze. My friend Elena mouths sorry to me. I shrug, like the rest of my class. You know what? It's fine. It's all fine. I think I'm just going to have to stay in here for these 2-hour-long reading sessions from now on. No more bathroom breaks for me, am I right? Miss Hollick scoffs to no one in particular. She walks away toward the side exit of the room. I look behind me and catch Zahar playing with the binding on a picture book he found on the floor. He forces his nubby fingers into the hardcover's spine and pulls out a white thread hidden inside. And there's a prize inside, I groan, and take Zahar by the hand. I follow in the direction of his teacher. Her office and a good scolding await us. Hey, aren't you excited about today? We're finally getting new reading buddies. Elena smiles and nudges my shoulder. My grade 5 class lines up by the cubbies and coat hooks outside the junior kindergarten class. Once a month, our teacher, Mr. Chaban, forces us to read to the 4-year-olds because it enriches our ability to empathize with those in need and creates a stronger sense of responsibility. He spits that line out each time we're about to enter their classroom. Well, I'm not happy. My usual reading buddy, Larissa, would read me the books. I just had to sit back and point to the funny things I found in the pictures. I was a real comedian, I say. We sit and rest on a bench below a row of cubbies. Some of the girls from my class gab by the far corner of the hall, near the emergency exit. A poster shows a carton of milk and a package of cookies in a tussle, the milk chastising the poor junk food for even daring to go outside. Only healthy foods are allowed to go outside for recess. I'm praying for you, Alex. I'm praying for you, and me, and everyone else. Actually, wait. Take my hand and pray with me. Olena grabs my hand. Oh, spaghetti god of the Serengeti, please, for all that is holy and sweet, please leave Zahar the Antichrist home today. Let him be stuck at home with a cold, and please allow me and Alex to have one of those kids who can already read so that the two of us can goof off and point at the stupid pictures inside those stupid books we keep dragging around to each of these reading buddy classes. Olena breathes. One more breath. Amen. She lets go of my hand and wiggles her arms. Dude, do the spaghetti wave. I smirk, stand up, and wiggle my arms along with her. And, like divine intervention, Mr. Chaban pokes his head out through the junior kindergarten classroom's doorway. Okay, Miss Hollick and I have set up the new pairs. I hope you all enjoy today, as this enriches your ability to empathize with those in need and creates a stronger sense of responsibility. I glance over at Olena, she at I. We laugh and hop into the class. I'm always in awe of all the cool crap the kindergartners have inside their classroom. There are walls and walls full of books, puppets, stuffed animals, markers, construction paper, and play costumes for them to get lost in and have fun with. One side of the room has a meeting area, where all the kids sit and listen to Miss Hollick as she teaches them whatever kindergartners learn about. The other side of the room has a mass of circular desks dotted with orange and yellow chairs. In those little yellow chairs sit 30 little kids flipping through their favorite little books, all waiting to meet their new reading buddies. Okay, so, as I say your name, please sit with your assigned buddy, Miss Hollick says. She lists each pair, one after the other, with tween after tween shuffling off for duty. Minutes pass, and Olena and I are the last two standing. The only buddy left is a girl named Anastasia. She has super long pigtails tied up with pom-poms. I remember Olena used to wear her hair like that in grade 1, the grade we first met and became friends. Holy crap, Antichrist ain't here, so it'll be the two of us and Anna. Hopefully she can read on her own, Olena whispers. I look around to see if Zahar's hiding anywhere. His usual hiding spot is under the rug by the front. But since there's no suspicious lump, I think he's gone for today. Okay, so, Olena, why don't you read with Anastasia? Alex, we'll go and get Zahar from the other room. I haven't woken him up from his nap yet, Miss Hollick says, and leaves the class. Olena hugs my shoulders and skulks off toward Anna. Minutes and more minutes pass, and I'm left standing by the front door all alone. Anastasia has already read Olena 3 books. The door smacks open and Miss Hollick re-enters the room. A boy shimmies along behind her. I gulp. I heard that Zahar's last reading buddy left with the chicken pox last month. I plaster on a fake smile and wave to Zahar as he approaches. He doesn't wave back. Okay, so, as you probably know, Zahar needs to be kept busy with books. Lots of books. But please keep the Amelia Bedelia books aside, as he gets very hyper with those books, Miss Hollick says, and pushes the boy toward me. Zahar looks like a poodle pup. He has dark circles around his eyes, a sopping wet nose, a mop of sandy brown curls, and a face both adorable and conniving. Never have I seen him without a sly grin. I Zahar, he garbles. Like a lot of kids here at St. Sophia's, he grew up speaking Ukrainian, so he still has an awkward accent to his English. I crouch down and pat his shoulder. I'm Alex. Do you have a special book you want to read first? He slaps his cheeks and chokes a deep breath in. I know trick with art. Zahar giggles as he dashes for the chalkboard easel by the carpeted corner of the room. I sigh and head on over to join him. I take chaka, make dog, then do swoop, boom, and put cat here, and make fight, see? Rar, woof woof, meow. Zahar whips up a doodle of one colorful squiggle melting into another. As he draws, he slaps the chalkboard easel, adding cloudy handprints all over his scene. He smiles and stands back to let me inspect his work. "I love it," I say. Sahar looks at me, eyes wide and blue. The Antichrist moniker really is an overstatement. You keep him calm, and he'll keep calm. "Lady Alex, I have you do new picture with new dog, but he new king of dogs and you queen of dogs," Sahar laughs, and sucks in a mouthful of spit. I begin, but pause. Should I tell him? Should I tell him that I'm a guy and not a girl? It's a very common thing for me, being mistaken for a girl. I think it's in the way I carry my weight, 'cause I'm all thighs and butt. I decide to continue. Sahar, I would actually be the prince of dogs. He stops. Snap. He breaks the piece of chalk in his hand in two. Nope, you queen, that's it. But Sahar, I'm a boy. Look, no kilt, no frilly socks, not a girl. He circles me. He looks me up and down. He writes pretend notes on the easel. I feel uneasy. I know how. Why, you know Bee Bedelia's sister? He whines and stamps in place. I'm not one of Amelia Bedelia's sisters, no. I know it sucks, but that's not important. What's important is that we go over to a bookcase, pick out a book, and read it together. How's that sound? I stand up and point toward a row of stuffed animals perched on the nearest shelf. We can even pick out a dog stuffy to come and read with us if you'd like. Sahar doesn't move. His eyes turn dark, with the light and luster replaced with a darker shade of blue. He blinks a few times and twitches. Come, we'll go and pick out a dog stuffy, I say. His stillness scares me. I pull out a shaky hand and motion him to come. Sahar, ever so slowly, reaches into a box of chalk by the easel. He pulls out a wad and shoves it straight into his mouth. I no need no booby boy, he snarls, and flips the easel over. He climbs on top of it, using both hands and feet, and gnaws into his mouth full of chalk like a wolf into a deer. Ah, shit, I sigh.
That was Alexander Melnick reading his story, Reading Buddies. Our final story tonight has a very glum narrator sitting around with his friend Elena, who challenges his willingness to accept the indignities he suffers as one-third of what he refers to as their school's fat club. Stunned by her unexpected harsh words, he strides off, only to find himself caught in an even more shocking confrontation. Let's listen now as Alexander Melnick reads his story, Doormat.
Doormat by Alexander Melnick. Oh, fuck. I could eat rainbow sprinkle Dunkaroos till I die, Elena garbles, and stuffs another stack of cookies and icing into her mouth. Today, the day before March break, comes in like a blessing for me and the rest of the school. Any day before a major holiday has at least three-quarters of the student body absent. Those missing kids somehow coax their parents into writing hokey notes for them to give to their teachers the day before a mass exodus. Reasons often include headache, tonsillitis, achy muscles, tuberculosis, shark attack, that thing Carrie did at her prom, and so on. I actually had my mom write those last few for me in a note for April Fool's last year. Miss Polenska, my 7th grade teacher, still has that note hanging in her office. Here, have mine, I say, tossing the peculiar blue packet of happiness onto Elena's back. Lying under a strip of full lush trees by the far end of the intermediates field feels amazing. The stoners usually plant themselves here before anyone else can. I don't know how the lucky bastards always get here so quickly after lunch, or where they are today. They probably fled days ago in preparation for, well, for endless days of toking. Why don't you want it? Did Mama Melnick tamper with your Dunkaroos? Lena teases. She nudges me with a foot clad in black Adidas. A stream of blonde, strawberry-steeped hair falls across my legs as she lays belly down next to me. Her hair tickles and mingles with my leg hairs. You know why, Elena. I've told my mom countless times that I don't need them. And yet, as she packs my lunch, her mom's senses tingle, and she, of course, must think, hey, my overweight son needs just one more snack for his lunch today. Oh, stop it, Alex. You know I won't give you any pity, she says, her index finger knuckle deep in my Dunkaroos icing. I wish any one of our friends, Paul, Tanya, or Maddie, came with us today. One of them might have said something in my defense. I never asked for your pity. It's just a pity my ass and thighs refuse to strip off their lovely coats of soft, fluffy fat, I huff. I slump down and plop my face into my hands. Uh-huh, Olena says, and crunches into another stack of cookies. We watch as Roman, Dimitri, and Andrew play soccer in a barren patch of dirt a few meters away from us. By my last count, Dimitri leads by 3 goals. I'm tired of carrying extra luggage around with me all the time. I punch my thigh hard. I hate it. Uh-huh. And I'm tired of random guys making creepy comments behind my back. Like, at Square One last week, this guy walks up behind me, whistles and shouts, "Damn, that booty don't quit." By the time he passes ahead of me, he realizes I'm a dude and goes off and rips a stream of expletives at me. Yo, you talk funny when you're mad. Olena laughs. Oh, I'm not even close to done, I boom. Let me tell you something. I, a man of 13 years of age, have cellulite. Awful, cringeworthy, unmanly, cellu-freaking-lite. Olena rolls over and dumps the back of her head into the spot between my cross-legged legs. She nestles deep inside my thighs, looks up, and smiles. You know, all this loveliness adds character. I'm a mess of unholy sounds as I struggle to breathe between sudden heaves of laughter. My mouth acts like a foghorn spewing baby-breaking noises. I wipe away lines of tears from my face. Holy crap, stop, I creak. Olena keeps her head on my lap, but twists a less than gentle smile. Alex, I want you to stop worrying about shit like this. I'd hate to see you as anything less than the Alex I know and love, she says. Her eyes gleam a warm hazel, with specks of green and yellow swirling around her dark pupils. She reaches up and pokes my chubby cheek. My chest and throat tighten and ache as I let out a heavy sigh. My weight has always been an issue for me. This is something I never want to bring up in front of my friends, since this is something unique to me. After all, I make up 1/3 of the entire school's fat club. Everyone else seems to just grow up and grow out of their awkward baby fat bodies. I speak up. Yeah, but you've seen how awful most of the inbreeds here treat me because of my weight, I say. You've witnessed the countless bouts of bullshit I've gone through over the years. I know, and I hate seeing you in that kind of spotlight. Olena pulls out a strand of gold hair from her mouth. 2 senior girls saunter down the hill near us, hands laced into each other's, hollering off to the 3 boys playing soccer. And yet, she continues, sitting up to face me. You just lie back and take it all in like a bitch. Where's your backbone, Alex? I can't defend you forever. You're about as reactive as a doormat. I can't look at her. What just happened? I look toward the field. I wish I could take the place of one of those guys playing soccer. I just want to crawl in and take the place of one of them. Just one, just once. Just crawl in and take the place inside one of their normal bodies, inside their normal lives. But I can't. I'm still waiting for someone to invent that technology. I sigh again. You're right. I have no one to blame but me. I'm responsible for me, I say, while I hoist myself up and sweep any dirt and grass from my ass. You go into the washroom? Olena asks. I don't answer back. I make my way up the hill. As I step up onto the pavement, a hand pushes hard against my shoulder and halts me in place. Sup, Melnick? You going off to get some more munchies? Daniel says. This kid. I swear, any time I'm at my most vulnerable, he always finds me and says something stupid and awful like that. Please, just leave me be, I sigh. His eyes, a dusty blue, are quite handsome in the soft light of the sun. Listen, faggot, you and me, we gonna fight, right here, right now. No fucking teachers around, so how about it? Daniel drills his harsh words through a sharp grin. Dozens of emotions overtake me. I shudder and heave a deep breath as tears gush down my face in large droves. I can't hold back. I sob and sob in front of some asshole I actually thought could be quite handsome. Holy fuck, man, grow a fucking pair over that pussy of yours, Daniel snips, and shoves my shoulder again. I stumble back and fall. I land square onto a patch of rough gravel. I look up and watch as Daniel stalks forward with a face as twisted and malevolent as Batman's Joker. My breaths chop and churn as I hold my hands up. He stops in front of me, leg raised, foot aimed at my face, and Olenna rams all 6 feet of her frame into that piece of shit. Daniel flips, tumbles, and skids across the jagged pavement. He lies there, breathless. Olenna hoists me up and pats my back and bottom clean. I swear, Alex, I swear, no matter what I say, I'll always protect you. No matter what my stupid mouth shoots off, she says. She pulls me in and hugs me.
That was Alexander Melnick reading his story, Doormat. This concludes Life Rattle number 1369. My name is Lori Callis. I had the pleasure of recording Alexander Melnick reading his stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next week for a Life Rattle classic show hosted by Virginia Ashbury.